And let's turn together in our Bibles now back to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. We're going to consider this evening just the first eight verses of this psalm, as Psalm 71 has been our psalm of the month. Been singing this psalm for just a couple weeks now, and we'll continue to sing it through the month of October. Again, it's the elders' encouragement to you to make use of our psalm of the month in your private devotions and family worship, as we do each week in our public worship, so that we might be slowly committing the word of God to memory, so we might be slowly storing it up in our hearts. I've entitled the sermon this evening, My Strong Refuge. You're going to see that that is the foundation upon which the rest of this psalm is built, about our taking refuge in God. So we're going to consider just these eight verses again as the foundation of our faith and the building that then is built upon it. So let's give our careful attention now to God's holy word. This is Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verses 1 through 8. It says the word of God. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of wicked men, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Amen. Let's bow briefly for prayer. Lord God, we ask as we come now to your word, and as we spend what really is just a few moments together considering and meditating upon your word, Lord, we pray that you would bless us. You have promised us in your word that your word will never return to you void. And so we pray that as this word goes forth tonight upon our ears and upon our hearts, that it would accomplish a gracious and a merciful purpose in each of our lives. Lord, these words here contain promises that if truly understood and truly embraced, will calm our hearts, even amongst the greatest of anxieties. And so as your people, we ask that you would equip us with these things. That as our hearts often struggle to believe what you declare in your word, that you would give us a strong clinging to your word. The foundation of your word would be planted deeply within our hearts and held firm there by what we behold. Lord, we ask that you would do this in us so that as your people we might glorify you, so that we might live our lives confidently as we trust in you, even amidst changing times, that we might be a help and an encouragement to our brothers and sisters because of our faith in you, and that we might be a light to this world because of our faith in you. And so we ask now, even as we come to your word, that you would do even far more abundantly than we ask or imagine. And so we commit this time to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 1173... the construction of a famous tower began. In 1173, the construction of the Tower of Pisa began. You might better know this tower as the famous Leaning Tower of Pisa. And the leaning of this tower was not noticed until some 5 years after the building of this tower had begun. It wasn't until the builders began building beyond the third floor that they began to notice its tilt. The tower now stands 8 stories high, and over the subsequent 800 years after it began to be built, it became clear that that building is not just leaning, but it's actually falling. It's falling at a rate of 1 to 2 millimeters per year. Now, just one of the reasons why this building is failing was the fact that its foundation was built only about 10 feet deep. Just consider that depth. The building itself stands 180 feet off of the ground. And yet the foundation that was determined for it was somehow determined to be only 10 feet deep. So the Leaning Tower of Pisa stands literally today as a testimony to the importance of a proper foundation. Since that foundation was inadequate, that tower began to be built, and it was doomed from its beginning. Since the foundation was insufficient, that tower that was intended to stand as a testimony to this city's significance, instead it now stands as a monument to the builder's ignorance. Since this tower continues to stand, and since this tower continues to stand as though it looks like it will fall, it has become a spectacle that people travel from all over the world to see. The lesson in that building is, if you don't have the proper foundation, all of the subsequent floors, everything that you try to build upon it, is doomed to fail. In fact, the architects of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, having learned of its tilt, they began at the third floor to try to compensate for their earlier failures. Which means they tried to build the subsequent floors out of kilter in order to correct its already dangerous tilt. But it did not work. Because that tower was built on an inadequate foundation, no amount of correction could compensate. The same thing holds true for all of life, and the same thing holds true for your spiritual life. Whatever it is that you build your life or your spiritual life upon, whatever it is that you decide to build your spiritual life upon will determine the stability of your spiritual life. That's what Jesus said, in fact. He said, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." Conversely, Jesus also said, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So, what is the foundation of your life? What is the foundation upon which you are building the whole of your life upon? Well, we've come tonight to Psalm 71, and this psalm begins by building on a very specific foundation. So tonight we're going to proceed first by considering that foundation itself, and then we'll proceed to consider what are the subsequent floors that are built upon that foundation. And as we proceed, what we're going to see tonight is that this psalm teaches us that when God is your foundation, when He is the foundation of your faith, then you can rest confidently concerning all that is then built upon Him. So let's begin tonight by considering the foundation. The foundation. "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge." Psalm 71 follows a pattern found in many of the other psalms. It begins with a statement upon which the rest of the psalm is built. Look at verse 1. "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge." That simple statement is the foundation upon which everything else in that psalm is built. That is the statement. That statement is the foundation for the rest of all that this psalm has for us. Psalm 23 follows a similar pattern. It begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that is the simple statement upon which all of the other amazing benefits of Psalm 23 follow. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will fear no evil. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, Psalm 71 follows a similar pattern. And we're going to consider the things that follow or that are built upon that foundation a little later. But for now, let's just consider this foundation itself. The foundation is, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge." So what is a refuge? What does this word refuge mean? We don't use that word refuge very often, so another word we might use is shelter. Boys and girls, you could imagine yourself being out on a hike, maybe out in the woods somewhere, when a storm suddenly descends upon you. What would you do if the rains began to fall and the winds began to blow and maybe lightning began to strike and thunder was roaring? Well, what you would do is you would immediately begin to seek shelter from the storm. You would try to find some sort of refuge. You would look for a cabin or maybe some sort of lean-to. And if you found something like that, it would immediately become a welcomed refuge from the storm. And you would go and you would hide yourself inside of that shelter because it would protect you from the elements of the storm. It would protect you from the rain and the wind and the lightning and the thunder. Well, here in this psalm, the psalmist uses four other words to describe how the Lord is his refuge. And he uses these four words in two pairs. So we'll consider each pair. First, the psalmist says concerning God, God is his refuge. He says, "You are my rock and you are my fortress." These words give us helpful imagery. A large rock is the very picture of stability, while a fortress is the very picture of protection. Out behind my house, there stands a very large rock that protrudes 40 or 60 feet out of the ground, and it's called Monument Rock. It's the rock after which the town of Monument gets its name. Well, one time I was out for a hike when it began to snow. It began to snow very heavily, and the wind was blowing like crazy. And so I needed to find shelter. I needed to find refuge from the storm. And all that I needed to do was go and stand behind that rock. It didn't matter how much the wind would blow. It didn't matter how much snow was going to fall, because none of it was more powerful than that rock. Once I was standing behind it, it provided all of the shelter that I need. That rock refused to be moved. Now, similarly, a fortress provides a refuge from a fight. Whether in battle or in a war, the side that fights from a strong fortress almost always comes out on top. This is because a fortress is built in order to shield you from the assaults of the enemy. A fortress is built specifically to withstand the strongest attacks. In Israel, there is a strong fortress named Masada. And Masada is built on top of a rocky plateau. Boys and girls, you might imagine a castle that essentially sits on top of a mountain. And so it provided the most incredible safety when in battle. Those strong walls were built on top of an already steep slope, and it made this castle almost unassailable. And so if you needed refuge, you could flee to Masada and you were almost certainly safe. Well, this is the kind of imagery that the psalmist is invoking when he says to God, "You are my rock." When he says to God, "You are my fortress," he's saying to God, "You are the one who will refuse to be moved. I can always hide behind you. You are the one, if I find refuge in you, that will withstand even the strongest attacks." Now, second, the psalmist says, "You are my hope and my trust." And these two words simply take the imagery of the first two words and describe what follows. Since God is my rock and my fortress, the psalmist says, he is also my hope and my trust. The word hope is describing God in terms of his expectation. Because God is my hope, says the psalmist, I have a very positive outlook ultimately on all things. Because God is my hope, the psalmist says, I can live optimistically, even though here in this psalm he is speaking about unjust and cruel men. So even though he is right in the midst of trying circumstances, he has a confident expectation because God is his hope. Now that word trust is just a little bit different. With that word, the psalmist refers to God as his confidence. God is the one in whom he relies. His security is set on God himself. Since God is my rock and since God is my fortress, says the psalmist, then I have a sure hope and a confident trust. Now it's important to take just a moment to consider one more word found here in verse 1. There's one more word that is essential to our understanding of this verse, and it is that word take. The psalmist's foundation is laid out when he says, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. And that one word underscores the simple fact that this is something that you and I must do. God is a rock, and God is a fortress. All hope is truly found in him, and he can be trusted entirely. But he is only these things to those who take refuge in him. He is not a hope, and he is not a refuge if you refuse to take refuge in him. So all of this begs the question, is God your refuge? Last week we considered how the disciples did not consider Christ's words to them well. Jesus had told them, you will all fall away, but Peter and the rest with him self-confidently asserted that that could not be. Jesus told them of this coming storm, as it were, and then they refused at that time to take refuge in him. But then, as we considered this morning, in contrast, Christ's example was of one who took refuge. Instead of self-confidence, even our Lord took refuge in his Father by running to him in prayer. When the Lord Jesus saw those same dark storm clouds gathering on the horizon, he sought shelter by going to his Father in prayer. So again, is the Lord your refuge? Is he the one to whom you turn when the storm winds begin to blow? When you find yourself facing another trial or anticipating a trial in the future, do you find yourself going to God as your rock, as your fortress? Is he your hope? Is he your trust? Is God truly the foundation of your faith? Is he the one upon whom the whole of your life is built? Well, if that's the case, then you have reason to rejoice. Because whatever foundation you build upon, it will determine the stability of everything else. The reliability of your foundation will determine the strength of everything that's built upon it. So let's consider that next. Again, the psalmist begins here in verse 1 with that foundation. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Well, let's now begin to consider everything that follows here in verses 1 through 8. Let's consider, secondly, the floors. Staying with this imagery of a building set on a foundation, if the foundation is God himself, then all of the floors that the psalmist climbs to from the ground floor could be summarized with his words that follow in verse 1. The foundation is, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. And then everything that's built upon that could be summarized with those words, let me never be put to shame. It's a comprehensive request. Let me never be put to shame. Now, shame is a deep-seated fear within all of our hearts. And it would be next to impossible for us to try to plumb the depths of what this fear may mean in all of its variations and varieties. But just think about some of these. We might think about the shame of guilt. We might think about the shame of failure. We might think about the shame of defeat or the shame of ignorance or the shame of being exposed or the shame of rejection. All of these and many, many more are subsumed under that very broad category of shame. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Well, after summarizing all of these floors, if you will, the psalmist expands on three of them specifically. So let's consider those three. First, when God is your refuge, you can cry out to him. This is one of the things that follows when God is your refuge. When God is your refuge, you can cry out to him. Just listen to how the psalmist articulates his crying out in verse 2. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Because the psalmist has found refuge in God, he can cry out to God confidently. He is crying out to the one true and living God, and he is bold and daring. He's almost telling God here what to do. Deliver me, rescue me, save me. So what is it that gives the psalmist such boldness with God? Well, here we see that it is actually his understanding of who God is. And it's his understanding of God's character. How do we know this? Well, he says, in your righteousness. In your righteousness. He boldly takes a stand, not on what he deserves, but on who God is. Lord, you are righteous. I have no claim before you, but I understand who you are. And you are righteous. You are good. You are just. And you have declared to me by your word that you hear the cries of your people. So come and incline your ear to me and save. This is one of the blessings of building your life upon the foundation of having God as your refuge. When God is your refuge, you can always cry out to him. Well, second, when God is your refuge, you can constantly come to him. You can constantly come to him. Listen to verse 3. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. I love that word, to which I may continually come. Do you come continually to God? Again, we hear the boldness of the psalmist in coming to God. Be to me a rock of refuge. He roots his boldness again in the character of God. You have revealed yourself as a God of refuge, as a rock of refuge. But beyond this, we also hear that the psalmist anchors his hope in God's promise because verse 3 continues and says, you have given the command to save me. Clearly, the psalmist's hope is in God's word. God has promised. So the psalmist brings God's promise back to him and boldly says to God, you have said. Do you go to God boldly with what his word has said? Augustine wrote, one good way to get comfort is to plead the promises of God in prayer. Show him his own handwriting, for God is tender toward his own word. Similarly, John Trapp wrote, promises must be prayed over. God loves to be burdened with and to be importuned in his own words, to be sued upon by his own bond. Prayer is putting God's promises into suit, and it is no arrogancy nor presumption to burden God, as it were, with his promises. Such prayers will be near to the Lord day and night, for he can as little deny them as he can deny himself. Well, I highlighted this promise earlier, but consider again that promise of Psalm 34:22. What does it say? The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. What a promise. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. condemned. When God is your refuge, when you believe and understand that He has promised Himself to you in this way as a refuge, and you can rest in Him and you can be readied for every form of affliction to hide yourself in Him. Well, third, when God is your refuge, you can depend entirely upon Him. When God is your refuge, you can depend entirely upon Him. Look at verse 6 with me. There the psalmist traces God's work in his life back to the very beginning of his existence, before he was even born. Looking back, he says, "Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb." The psalmist realizes that his life has always been in the Lord's hand. Psalm 139 teaches us the same. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Well, when God is your refuge, when you understand who God is and really how your life has always been in His hands, then you can learn to depend entirely upon Him. Psalm 139 speaks about how our life is in God's hands, both past, present, and then into the future. It says, "In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." And what does this understanding of God's sovereign care do to the psalmist there in Psalm 139? Well, it leads him to praise. "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." Now, as we've been considering these three things as if they were floors built upon a foundation, I want you to think back about how the floors of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, beginning at the third floor, began to be built off kilter to try to compensate. And it didn't work. Well, when God is your refuge, He is a sure foundation. And because He is a sure foundation, every single one of the promises built upon that foundation are perfect. And they never, ever fail. So if God is your refuge, you can rest in Him. You can know that you will never ultimately be put to shame. You will be delivered. Well, using this analogy of the foundation and that building then that is set upon it, we've considered first the foundation and then some of the promises that are built upon it. But there's one more thing for us to consider here. I told you earlier that one of the reasons why the Leaning Tower of Pisa began to lean was because its foundation was built only 10 feet deep. That was only one reason, but there was another. And the other reason is that the soil into which that foundation placed was essentially shifting sand. Well, many buildings today, many modern buildings must account for similar soils, which is why a foundation is often now accompanied by things called footers. And footers are especially needed and helpful in troublesome soil. Footers are often additional concrete that go down deeper than the foundation to basically establish the foundation. Well, often our hearts are that troublesome soil. Often our hearts can be compared to that shifting sand, and we need not just a foundation, but we need footers to sink the foundation even deeper. So where do we see that here in this psalm? Well, let's consider finally the footing. What is the footing found in this psalm which supports this foundation as of God as our refuge? That is the foundation. The promise is built upon it. But what about when our hearts are like that shifting sand and we hear these promises, but we struggle to believe? Well, in a word, or really a title, the footers found in this psalm are Christ, because He is the forerunner of our faith. Jesus Himself has gone before us to make sure that we have a sure footing for the foundation of our faith. Jesus lived these very words. Jesus took the words of Psalm 71 upon his lips at various times in his life, and he cried out to God with the same words that he now gives to you to cry out to God. So from his youth, he relied upon the protection and the care of his heavenly Father. His very conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary was a special act of the Holy Spirit. Think about just after he was born, King Herod attempted to murder him as a baby. And so his heavenly Father kept him safe by hiding him in Egypt. And then when Satan tried to tempt him into giving up upon his mission in the wilderness, the Spirit strengthened his resolve so that he could resist. And then the Father sent ministering angels to strengthen him. Throughout his life, at various times, Christ's enemies were aiming to kill him, to cut off his mission. But in all of this, the righteousness of the Father was at work, keeping his word to his Son so that his Son would be able to complete the mission for which he had come, so that he could come and give his life as a ransom for many. Well, in this way, we see that the words of Psalm 71 are the words of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes there are difficult things in the psalm that we struggle to understand in relationship to Jesus Christ, and I don't want to avoid this. If you've already looked in your Bible at verse 9, go ahead and look down there. It says this, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age." That might present a difficulty for some in trying to understand how could Jesus take these words upon his lips? How could Christ be pictured in this psalm since he lived to just beyond 30 years of age? Well, just consider the life that Jesus lived. Consider the life that Jesus lived and all of the suffering that was fit into his 33 years. If you consider all of the suffering that Jesus endured, I don't think it's any stretch to say that he lived as if to a long age or into old age. Jesus, therefore, is the footer that provides stability to the foundation of our faith. Jesus is the one who has gone before us, taking up the words of this psalm before us, praying them to his Father, relying upon his Father, so that we might then follow in his footsteps. Whenever we struggle, whenever we doubt the promises of God or struggle with temptation, we need to learn to look to Jesus as the forerunner of our faith. We need to look to Jesus when we take these words upon our lips, because there we see how the Father was faithful to him. First and foremost, Jesus relied upon his Father as his rock and as his fortress. His hope was firmly fixed upon his Father. First and foremost, Jesus sought refuge in his Father. And even when he was sorrowful unto death, as we saw this morning, he found a ready refuge in his Father. And then as we watch Jesus' life, as we watch him go to Gethsemane, as we watch him go then to the cross, as we watch him die, as we read earlier this evening, as we see his dead body then buried, then gloriously 3 days later, as we watch his body raised from the dead, we see how the Father was faithful to every promise made herein. And that is the footer for our faith. It is actually looking to Jesus Christ and seeing how the Father was faithful to bring his Son through the words of these psalms into glory, because that's how God is going to bring us into glory. So just as Jesus found refuge in his Father, just as Jesus cried out to him, just as Jesus continually came to him, and just as Jesus entirely depended upon him, you and I, singing Psalm 71, can come to Christ. We can believe and trust that just as God was faithful to his Son, he will be faithful to us who hide ourselves in him. Because it's in Christ that we make God our refuge. It's in Christ that we come and we cry out to our Father. It's in Christ that we rely continually upon Him. And it's in Christ that we depend entirely upon Him. Well, it's in these ways that I think we get a better insight into Jesus' words. When He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." So, brothers and sisters, let us look to Jesus Christ, seeing the faithfulness of His Father to Him. And as we hide ourselves in Jesus Christ, let us rest as we trust that He will be faithful to us as well. Let's pray together. Gracious God in heaven, we thank You for Your word. And Lord God, we thank You that not only do we hear and have a sure foundation for our faith in Your word, but then we see a twofold faithfulness when we watch as You are faithful to Your own Son as He took these words upon His lips. And Lord, we ask that as we hear these words and we see the sufficiency found in them in Your Son, that we too would come with eager expectation to find them sufficient for ourselves. Lord, we pray that You would prop up our faith as we look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord God, we ask that You would be with us in trying times so that we might entrust ourselves, that we might find our refuge in You. For we cling to that promise that none who take refuge in You will ever be brought to shame. Thank You that we can claim this promise right now in Jesus' name. Amen.